Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life, the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury, filling in for Pastor Marcia, who is on vacation. I'm joined in the studio with Nan Watson, my ever-present cohort.
Howdy.
And we are joined by phone from Betty and Megan, sort of back and forth in Indiana. Welcome, welcome. And Nan, I know you have a poem and you have some comments from what we were talking about just before the break.
I do. The poem first.
Okay.
It's an interesting poem. I kind of like this one. Not that I don't like any of them, but this one's kind of pretty cool because of the concept in it. I am the rock upon which you can depend. I am your almighty father and also friend. Yes, that may be a new concept to you, but read my word, you will find it to be true. I am your wonderful, loving friend, little one. You can enjoy our friendship, for it's been done. Look to me for all of the issues that you face. You will be okay. You'll make it by my grace. Allow me to be a loving friend of yours. You know, and it's like he is God Almighty, and we respectfully respect him in such, and or stand in awe of him in such, but he's also our friend, and our friend upon we can be thankful. We're talking about thankfulness and trust. Mm-hmm. We can trust our friend, and we can be thankful that we have him as our friend. You know, I mean, like, I have you, you're my friend, I can call you. In fact, we phoned back and forth to
yeah, there's a funny story about this. Nan and I were trying to touch base by phone like all day, starting kind of Friday night, but into
right,
Saturday.
Yeah. Yes.
And like we'd miss each other, so we'd leave voicemails for each other. Praise God, he's not like that. You don't ever leave him a voicemail.
No, he doesn't, but he's so good. And what I want to share, I'm in an NIV study Bible, and when you were talking about the in verse 6, verse 5 about the pilgrimage and in that general area. But there was one thing that it was interesting in the study notes. It said the joyful expectations of the pilgrims transformed the difficult ways into places of refreshment.
Amen.
I thought that was pretty cool.
And it's all in your attitude. It's all in your attitude. Is that correct, Indiana?
Right on.
I wasn't sure who was going to be there, so I just said Indiana.
Indiana, yeah. We're just don't call me IU. That'd be all right with me.
Oh no, I would never do that. I went to Ball State, so.
Yeah, well, good. Well, we're Purdue country, so. I think one of the things that Nan was trying to bring out is that in Psalm 40, verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit. Well, that's the NIV. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. And I think one of the things that she was trying to reiterate is that we have to have an attitude of gratitude, that the hotline to Jesus is always open. There's never a time where he'll shut us off, like some people do with their voicemail or their cell phones or emails or whatever, is that his line is always open. And I can speak from experience about being brought out of the pit, out of the mud, and that's where Satan wants to keep us.
Oh, absolutely.
And on the solid rock I stand, I don't want to build my home or my life on sinking sand. I want it to be strong and solid, and on the rock is where I want, you know, to build my home, and my my life is dependent so on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have brought out such a great point of praising God in the midst of the storm. I've noticed that a lot of times, you know, all we can say is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes praising him, maybe for some people, is easier than praying. It's a thought to think about, but once you get into that, once you get into his courts with praise, you don't really ever want to leave. If you have to leave, you have that yearning and that longing to want to go back and be in his presence, because being in his presence, everything that the devil's trying to throw at you, at, you know, that week or whatever, just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes care of it. Maybe not in our time, Nan, and excuse me, after Jim, but he gets it taken care of. It might be not what we wanted, but his plan is so much greater than ours, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And verse 1 of Psalm 40 starts with, I waited patiently on the Lord. You know, yeah. That can be hard, too. It's hard to be thankful when you're impatient, because, you know, you're absolutely right. God's timing may not be ours, but the outcome is so great. And this does follow along with this. We believe in the promises of that God has made in the Bible. All this, the stuff we've read in the Psalms, and from Psalm 40, Psalm 73, Psalm 84, Psalm 22, we believe in those promises. And because we believe in those promises, we believe in the power of prayer, because there are so many promises regarding prayer. And I just want to put in a quick plug, I guess, for our prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope. We have a prayer ministry, and because we believe, God answers prayers. I mentioned earlier in the show of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, in Jesus all the promises of God are yes, to which we add the amen. We can find a promise for whatever your need is, believe me, and we'll confess that promise over you. We will declare God's word over you. If you have any prayer requests, any prayer needs, and we're getting them in from all over, I mean all across the world. If you have any needs, please let us know. Send us an email at prayers@bohmglobal.com. Either myself, Betty, or Shell, one of us will pick up the prayer. We will write a prayer to go with it and send it out to our prayer team. And our prayer team members believe that God answers prayer. So when that happens in your life, please send back a praise report. Let us know how God has moved in your life. Because I do keep track of those. I do keep track because it's just wonderful to look back and see all the ways God has moved in the lives of people at Beacon and the lives of people outside of Beacon. So, back to Psalm 84. I just love this. You know, our hearts are set on pilgrimage when they walk through the valley of weeping. Some translations, you know, they actually have the Hebrew word in there, the valley of Baca. They turn it into a place of refreshing springs. And that goes along with what Nan was saying. It has to do with your attitude. And Betty, you said attitude of gratitude. We can walk through that valley and turn it into a place of refreshment because we are joyful. We have our hearts set on pilgrimage. We're looking at the end of the end result. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Therefore, we're able to do that. We turn it into a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains, the early rains will come down and just clothe us with blessings. We will continue to grow stronger and stronger. Now think about that. When we should be getting weaker and weaker because of, you know, the things that go on around us, the fears, the setbacks that we all have. Satan would like to see us get weaker and weaker, but the scripture says, if we have the right attitude, if our hearts are set on pilgrimage, we will grow stronger and stronger until each of us appears before God. I love that promise. I dearly love that promise. Mm-hmm. Comments.
Betty?
Megan?
Do we have Indiana?
I think one of the things that we need to look at is perseverance. To be able to persevere on, to be able to as Pastor Marcia used to say years ago, we've got to gut up and go on. We've got to pick up our feet. We've got to start praying more. We've got to start praising more, even in the midst of the storm. That if God be for us, people, who can be against us? So when we look to the world for help, we may not get it. But when we look to God, we're going to get the help that we need to get us through, pick us up by our bootstraps, put us on that warrior path, put us on that straight path that God wants us on. And if we stray a little bit, you know what he does? The Holy Spirit nudges us back on and says, mm-hmm. Okay, now, you know, you got just a little bit off track. Now let's start fresh from right here, from right where you left off. I didn't leave you. You left mm-hmm. me. So let's get back on the path. Let's get going. Get back into the Word. Excuse me, I'm a short of breath today. Let's start doing what God wants us to do. And quit listening to Satan. Tell him to back off. Get thee behind me. And stay straight for God. And he's never left us nor forsaken us. His promises are so true that even in the midst of storm, God is our lifesaver.
Amen.
He's out there. He's out there on the water. He walked on the water.
Pardon. Right. One time he was walking on the water. Another time he was in the boat fast asleep.
Yep.
Because he dwelt in the presence of God, and he showed us how to do that. And,
well, what I was thinking of, and the two of you are the two of about either four or five people that I sent out email to, I believe it was this last a week and a half ago, and I was like feeling like I was drowning. I was feeling in a very bad place. I was just feeling such under attack with the stuff at work and the pressure, more the pressure, just the pressure, the pressure, the pressure. And I traveled Courtney Campbell Causeway, State Road 60, to go to work. And I'd pulled over at Ben T. Davis Beach, and I had a few minutes. I happened to have a few extra minutes in the morning, which I normally don't ever have. And I just stopped there and I said, God, I need help and I need it now. I need your help in this situation, or I'm not going to make it, God, without your help. I am literally not. I was crying. I was, you know, and I sent you guys an email, you know, real fast. I need prayer. I need y'all to keep me in prayer, you know, and I could feel the results of that prayer. You know, the pressure was still there, but he was helping me to deal with it. And I could still, like you have taught early in the radio show today, praise him, not for the situation, but in the situation. And I was able to make it. And by my God's grace, by my God's strength, by my God's help, and by the prayers that you guys prayed for me, which I was greatly appreciative for, but, you know.
Well, and you know what just came into my head, and I'm not saying this because you had that Jonah spell, but it was kind of the same thing with Jonah and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Both were in situations where they were terribly pressured. Jonah tried to run from God, got swallowed by the big fish. And yet, in the middle of that fish's belly, and when you're talking about pressure, I'm thinking, that must have been a horrible pressure situation. He sang a song of praise.
Mm.
He confessed his sins. He went on to praise God, and he was set free.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all know the story that Nebuchadnezzar built this huge statue, demanded that everybody worship it, fall down and worship it. If you didn't, I'm going to toss you into the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, they refused to worship, and they told Nebuchadnezzar, the God we serve is able to deliver us, but you know what? Even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your idol. So, of course, Nebuchadnezzar ordered that the furnace be heated seven times hotter, tossed them in, and I believe it killed the people that they had putting them in the furnace. And somehow they could look into the furnace. I've heard it said, you know, heard it said they had tempered glass so they could look inside the furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and instead of three people in that furnace, there were four. So we, you know, it's a good point to remember that even in the midst of our trials, our own fiery furnaces, that God is there with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that furnace. They didn't even smell like smoke, not a burn on them. They didn't even pick up the scent of the fire. Mm. And, you know, God delivered them. But again, you know, Scripture says they were bowing before this fourth figure, praising God in the middle of this fire. And again, it's what, like what Betty said, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of praise. Having your heart set on pilgrimage goes a long way to deliverance, you know, like happened with you, Nan. Mm-hmm. I know what's happened with mm-hmm. me before. I know what's happened with Betty and Megan. Your attitude of praising and trusting God, even when the situation looks like it's completely out of control, completely crazy, you're feeling pressured from every side. When you surrender it to God and give Him thanks in the middle of that situation, He will come through. And Betty, you mentioned persistence, perseverance. Yeah, it may not happen at that second, but God will get you through. And, you know, talks about fire as a refining thing. And it did, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego actually came out of this great because they got promoted. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar promoted them for not bowing down to his statue. So that's pretty cool right there.
That is.
So I want to continue on with Psalm 84 here in just a minute, but I do, one of my favorites.
Can I introduce it?
Yes, yes you can.
I have never introduced a psalm. This one's special to me. It's called Praise the Lord by the Imperials. And about right after that week and a half period ago, he started bringing to mind, he started saying to me, get back to the basics. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Go back to the basics. And what he did, he began bringing to mind three or four different songs. One, a hymnal. You were talking about hymnals earlier. I've just been singing that hymnal. This Praise the Lord by the Imperials. I've been playing this on my phone, downloading it from YouTube for probably the last week and a half. I've easily listened to this song at least 30 times. And so listeners, as you listen to this song, really listen to this song. Just listen to how it talks about the chains will fall from you as you praise Him. And just praise Him, not for your circumstances, but in your circumstances. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He will see you through.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. That we are paupers, when he knows himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord.
I get so blessed every time I hear that song.
I have been so blessed the last week and a half time I've heard that song.
I bet you have. Well, Nan, I bet you have a poem for us, too.
Amazing. God gave a poem about this
amazing.
One.
Amazing.
Praise God. Okay. You may not see how things will work out. However, praise me with a heartfelt shout. That's right. Praise me in the midst of the mess. And of me, you need to begin to confess. Confess that I've performed miracles in my word. Pick up the Bible, for it is your mighty sword. Lift up your shield of faith. Do it right now. You will feel freed by my awesome power. Go ahead. Try it out. Begin to praise my name. You will feel blessed and certainly not the same. I see all that has and is occurring in your life. Praise my name right now in the midst of the strife.
Amen.
You know, it's when we praise him in the midst of it, he gets so much more glory out of it, you know. We can be thankful after things are done, and we need to be, of course, of course. But as the stuff is happening, if we can just push past our human emotions, push past our humans. I don't understand how this is going to work out. I don't know how this can be better. I don't know what direction to take. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Praise him. Praise him.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because we're just a month and a half from Christmas. But Zechariah and Mary came to mind when you were talking. You know, they both got announcements of a pretty miraculous birth. Okay, Zechariah and was an old man. He had an old wife named Elizabeth.
You say it so funny.
Well, she was. She was old. Scripture says she was past childbearing age.
Okay.
Gabriel appeared, and Zechariah said, yeah, right. Basically, this is my paraphrase. Yeah, right. How in the world, Lord? Come on. So he wasn't anticipating a miracle. Mary, on the other hand, when Gabriel came to her and said, you know what, you're going to have a son. And she just said, okay, how will this be? Literally, I know some translations say, how can this be? But literally, it's different than what Zechariah said. It is, how shall this be? Mm-hmm. Meaning, I know it's going to happen. I'm just curious as to how. So we have to watch. Again, it's our attitudes. Are we just kind of going in disbelief, like, yeah, right, God, whatever? Or are we saying, okay, you know what? I know it's going to happen. Give me a clue as to how, okay? Because that, you know, that's all Mary wanted, and the angel told her how it was going to happen. And again, it's so much about our attitude. We need to always keep our eyes on God. And have our hearts set on that pilgrimage. Because, again, I go back to the verse, they will continue to go stronger until each of them appears before God in Jerusalem. What a promise. And that, you know, symbolically, that's us. We can go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, until each of us appears before God in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So,
you know, we can go from strength to strength. I mean, with what has started happening at work, there's the amount of pressure and stuff that's going on. It's like, it's hard. It's come, really wasn't, it's always been kind of crazy there. But I mean, this is difficult. This is different. But, you know, we can go from victory to victory to victory, you know. And that's what I focus on. Okay, God, you've helped me. I praise you. You're going to help me. You're going to help me go in and do what I need to do tomorrow. And to live in that place of praise and thankfulness. Mm-hmm. I was telling someone, you know something? This and this and this and this is going on. However, I am thankful I have a job. I am thankful I have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful I have a job with benefits. That there's a lot of people who would like to have that, need to have that, and don't have that. So we need to praise him for what we have and what we see.
Absolutely. Well, and Thanksgiving goes all around. We thank him for his blessings, job, relationships, material things, you know. And we praise him even, you know, like we talked about this whole time, in the midst of the storm,
mm-hmm.
we praise him. And I Just want to go on a little bit. I'd love verse 10. A single day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. We sing that song a lot. Better is one day in your house. So we sing that a lot at church. But it's true. A single day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather spend 30 minutes in God's presence. You know, good 30 minutes of just being right there in God's presence. Than doing most anything else. Because where am I going to find my strength, my refreshment? Where am I going to get going? How am I going to go from strength to strength? Mm-hmm. You know, but spending that time in God's presence. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. And that's really true because we, again, it goes back almost humility. I mean, a gatekeeper, yeah, I'm just kind of watching the door to the temple. But even though that was like the humblest job in the temple, the psalmist says, I'd rather be doing that than be anywhere else. At least I'm close to God. Okay? Comments from Megan, Betty? Y'all there? Okay. Well,
they're
go
moving
ahead.
In a thing.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if we can grasp that concept, I'm going to try to bring in another kind of comparison so people can really relate, because there may be some people who don't go to church, you know. So let's say I'd rather spend an hour at dinner at my favorite restaurant with my best friend than to spend a week around people that I don't care about. You know, that are not the choice people that I socialize with, you know. I mean, so you get all excited about that time that you get to spend with that friend versus the time that you spend with, well, even spend with your coworkers. You may not like your coworkers. So you spend all week dealing with your coworkers, dealing with whatever you have to deal with, and then you have that one special hour that you get to spend over dinner, your favorite food, with your best friend, the person that you love so much. That's how we are with God, you know. I was trying to bring
it up. Well, no, that's true. A lot of people think, you know, they think going into God's presence means, you know, going to church on Sunday or whenever, and sitting there and listening, singing the songs, listening to the sermon, and that's not what we're talking Mm-mm. about. When we, you know, we're talking about a relationship with the one true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom He sent. That's what this is all about, because having, you know, just going to church does not make you a Christian any more than, you know, a mouse in a cookie jar becomes a cookie.
And not going to church doesn't mean you're not a Christian if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior.
Right. Although we would highly recommend that you go to a church.
Absolutely. You know, but some people, you know.
Yeah, we would recommend that you actually find a church,
right?
Because a big part of the Christian life is fellowship with other Christians.
Yes.
And by church, I don't mean the big old building on the corner with the steeple. It could be a Bible study. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. But fellowship mm-hmm. is so important, because remember, when people went on pilgrimages, going back, of course, to Psalm 84, they usually didn't do it alone in biblical times. They would, I mean, like a whole... Let's say for like Passover, if you lived, say, up in Galilee, it could be most of your town would pack up and go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And, you know, so it wasn't, you know, you just didn't do this alone. You did it in a crowd usually. So there was that fellowship. And, you know, and I think that that's important that we keep that in mind. And, you know, he says, I'd rather be a gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. I'll take that humble position. And we talk about the body of Christ. Where's our part in the body of Christ? And I made this point, maybe on the radio or maybe on a Friday night, that even if you're the big toe on the body of Christ, Satan's still under your feet.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to be the head or an arm or an ear or an eye. even if you're the big toe on the right foot of Jesus, you're still stomping the devil. You're still above the devil. You're still above your circumstances. And I think that's an important thing to remember. And then, I love this. For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies. O Lord of heaven's armies. Oh, I love that. I love that. That the Lord God is a sun and a shield. So talk to me about what it means to be a sun and a shield.
Well, hey, I will. I'm back.
Yay!
Yay!
Hey, you know, to be the sun means that we're always in the light. We're never in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something to me that, you know, no matter what circumstance that I am in, no matter what season I'm in, you know, even if I'm in a rainy season, that I know that the Lord is going to shine that light upon my face so I can feel that warmth that he gives when he gives us his peace. And the shield, to me, that is the utmost protection, because you can use a shield to block any position, above you, behind you, beside you, and that's what he does. He is our shield. So, you know, if we have the proper relationship with him, and what I mean by that is if we have a friendship relationship with our Lord, with our Father, which we are allowed to have, which is what he wants us to have, then he is both. He is the sun and the shield.
Amen. Amen.
And that was good, Megan. I like that.
Thank you, Nanner.
You're welcome.
And he gives us grace and glory. You know, he's a sun and a shield. He gives us grace and glory. And I like that, too, because heaven knows I need a lot of grace. And
don't we all, Pastor?
Amen. Amen. And I think that's what keeps us going. You know, he's our sun and our shield. And those are kind of external. And yet the grace and the glory, those are internal. You know, the grace is inside of us. He gives us grace, which means we're strengthened and we're taught. And we don't have to be ashamed. You know, God's grace is greater. Mercy triumphs over judgment. His grace is greater than his wrath. And his grace was shown at the cross. And because of his grace, we have been reconciled to God. We have been brought close to God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, God showed his grace to us. And I love that verse in Romans. You know, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love to us in that Christ died for us. That's in Romans chapter 5. God shows us how much he loves us. And he gives us that grace so that we can continue to walk with him. It would be one thing if, you know, Jesus forgave us up to the day we got saved. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then what do we do? Because, you know, have we not sinned since the day we got saved? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. We all have. And if grace only extended that far, I'd be roasting, toasting, burning in hell by now, I can just about assure you. Mm-hmm. But his grace covers every sin from my first to my last.
Mm-hmm.
His grace covers all that. And that's a wonderful thing. And he gives us glory. He gives us himself. And I always think of the, you know, the glory cloud. Think, you know, Ten Commandments and Charlton Heston, or Raiders of the Lost Ark, that very last scene. And that's God's presence, his glory. Where he dwelt above the cherubim in the Holy of Holies is now inside of me.
Mm.
And it's incredible that this fleshly vessel can hold God's glory, yet he chooses to put himself there.
Mm.
I know. It's almost beyond imagining that God loves us enough to actually live inside of us, and that he withholds nothing from us. What joy for those who trust in you. The very last line. What joy. How happy are those. Blessed are those who trust in you, who put their faith in God. And we've been talking about that this whole time. And what a great song we have to kind of sum all of this up. Your Great Name by Natalie Grant. Like I said, that pretty much sums up what we've talked about. It's all about the name of Jesus. It's all about the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. That song just gets me in a blessed mood. So, Nan, I bet you have something for us.
I have something for us. It's entitled Praise Me Now. I am the Almighty God of this universe, yet I live in your hearts this very day. Call upon my name, asking forgiveness. Look to me, now trusting when you pray. Praise my name, for I am worthy of such. Also, you'll feel closer to me when you do. You will feel engulfed with my presence. The peace of my presence will fill you. I have spoken to you on this very day that you need to praise me and be thankful to me. Praise me, praise me, praise me, praise me. So many things you will learn and see.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to say this. We've talked this whole time today about thankfulness in the midst of stressful situations. And I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. One part of all this is to remember where the battle lies. We look at the world around us. We see, radical groups, and we think our battle is against them. And yes, on the human level it is, but it came to me during this song, during the last song, Your Great Name, that God reminded me our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against the flesh and blood terrorists. Our battle, our true battle, and the way it's really going to get won, is to remember that our battle is against the principalities, the powers that lie behind all of that. That's where we need to be focusing. I've often thought that, in the physical realm, I think particularly of World War II, because it was probably the last true battle of good against evil on such a scale. But I think of that, and I think, on the ground there were the armies, the Allies and the Axis powers fighting. And yet, in my mind's eye, I see the battle going on in the heavenlies. And I think that's where we need to focus now so much, is that we need to remember our battle is not against ISIS or Hezbollah or the KKK or whoever our battle, whoever we think the enemy is, or for that matter, the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, since the presidential elections are coming up. They're not our enemies, okay? Our enemies are the spirits behind all of that. And that's where we need to focus, that those spirits that are motivating all that hatred, all that anger, that those spirits be done with, be gone in Jesus' name, that they be rendered powerless, incapable of doing any more harm. And that's one way to remain, I think, thankful in the midst of all this, is remember who the enemy really is, who are we really fighting? Amen.
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 Amen. Sorry, I just really felt impressed to say that.
Well, no, we're glad you did. I mean, it's so true.
Well, and people, I just see the posts on Facebook, and yes, I'm angry. I'm angry too. But again, we have to remember who the real enemy is and what Jesus said. And this is likely going to offend a lot of people, but love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, because yes, there needs to be judgment on what was done, but mercy triumphs over judgment. Those people need to know Jesus. All those That's people right. with so much hatred in their hearts need to know Jesus, because that's the only way to find real peace. There's something going around on Facebook, we've been at peace with Japan since 1945, and it shows the new atomic bomb going off. Something about we need to do this to ISIS or whatever. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. What we need to do is pray that they find Jesus and find the one true God, because that's what's going to take the hatred out. That is what is going to take the anger out. And not just the Muslims, but so many other people are just like deceived. There's such a deception going on, and we need to pray against that also. So now that I'm all fired up, let's pray. for a few minutes, and we'll come back with final thoughts. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And in this world that in the natural looks like it's just going crazy and so out, spinning out of control, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would just give us eyes to see with, to see your plan, to see that you are still in control. Give us hearts of faith that we would trust you, Lord, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the battles, Lord, that we would stay steadfast and trusting in you, because we declare that you are the Lord God of heaven's armies. You are the Lord of hosts. You are our rock and our shield. You are our comforter. You are our deliverer, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come against, Lord God, the hatred and the deception and the spirit of death and the spirit of murder that is rampant in this world. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against it. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would pour forth your Holy Spirit on all the children of Abraham. Father, that you would pour forth your Spirit across this world and bring this world, Lord, to repentance. And Father, I ask that it would start with your church, with those of us who call on your name. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us come before you. We believers, let us search our own lives and get our own lives in order. Let us always walk before you in truth. Let us walk before you in humility. Let us walk with you, Lord, in praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We do have so much to be thankful for. For one thing, I'm thankful that we can sit here and talk like we do on the radio.
Amen.
That's true.
You know, praise God. And, you know, I just give thanks to the wonderful radio team. I love you guys so much.
We love you too, PJ.
You know, it's just, and it's, thank you. It's so wonderful to work with you guys. And thank God for Pastor, so I don't have to, I love doing this, but thank God I don't have to do it every week. hosting, that is, you know, that's, you know, I'm still not quite used to that, but.
You do great, PJ.
Thank you.
And you're doing fine.
Any final thoughts on what we've talked about today?
Nan, you want to go or you want me to go?
either way is fine. You want me to go ahead and go? Okay.
You go, girl.
You're funny. I love you.
I'm not sure about the tone of that voice.
I love her. She's one of my buddies. She's a Facebook buddy. She's a text buddy. She can even be a phone buddy when needed. It's cool.
And we're prayer buddies.
Absolutely. My closing thought is a poem that the Lord just gave me. Begin to praise me in the midst of your storm. I will move in your situation where you are found. Praise me. Look to me. I am in control. Lift up your head. Don't walk around with it down. Things will come together for you in my time. Look to me with thankfulness in your situation. You will receive the direction and certainly be okay. You are helped by my powerful protection. Praise me. I love you so much, special child. You will move from this time having learned much. Others who are around you see what you face will know that you made it through by my touch.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nan.
Tag, you're it, Betty.
I'm going. You mean Megan.
Megan? I'm sorry, Megan. Tag, you're it.
Well, you know, I just kind of want to piggyback off of something that Pastor Jim said a little bit ago, was the fact that how much the Lord gives of himself to us. And I want all the listeners to realize that most of the time, I can even say this about myself, is that we don't give all of us to him. And, you know, because sometimes we want to cling on to those little things that, you know, that are hiding in the corners of our heart. But I'm here to tell you that even though that you think they're hidden, he still knows. And it's still okay, because all you have to do is speak that word. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me for feeling this way. Forgive me for what I've done. And that's all it takes. And just like we were saying earlier, that it doesn't just happen from when you take the Lord into your heart and into the past. it's here going forward. It's every day of your life. Mm-hmm. And so take this time now and rededicate your life and give to the Lord as he gives to you.
Amen. And something that, Betty had said earlier about sometimes when you find it hard to pray or to give thanks, sometimes just saying the name of Jesus, and that's right. So great, because that fit in with the song, Your Great Name. Sometimes all you can do is say Jesus. Well, Megan, you may not. The Great Blizzard of 78 in Indiana.
Wasn't born yet.
Okay. Well, your mom would remember. I remember I had a job. I lived in Greenfield, and I worked over in Washington Square on the east side of Indianapolis. And they hadn't really got the roads all cleared yet, so I remember driving there, and all of a sudden I started skidding in the snow. And it was one of those times when all you could do was say, Jesus, Jesus. And he got me back on the road. I mean, I didn't go off in a ditch or anything. He stopped. I mean, I believe he stopped the city, because I just kind of froze. But that's so true. And I just want to remind, again, our listeners, what we've talked about today is so important, that you can be thankful, but you need to keep your eyes on the Lord, to keep your eyes on Jesus, because when Peter took his eyes off, what did he do? He sank in the water. You know, he got out there and walked on the water, but the minute he started focusing on the storm, he sank. And yet Jesus graciously said, okay, you got a little faith. We need to work on that. But he didn't just leave him in the water. He picked him up, and immediately they were both in the boat. That's the kind of God we serve. He wants us to look continually to him. And yet even sometimes when we fail at that, and we do, all of us do, he's there to pick us up and put us back in that safe place, and back in that boat, which is the safe place. This has been Living the Good Life with a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope. Again, we meet on Friday nights for the gathering. We get together about 6 o'clock. We pray, take prayer requests. Then we gather for praise and worship at 6:30. We get into the Word. It's interactive. And this show is on every Sunday from 3 to 5. And also we have another show on Thursdays from a little after 6 to 7, and that would be Go Yard with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel. It's a life coaching show, so please feel free to tune in. All of our shows are eventually show up on our websites, which is a wonderful thing. You can go back and listen. I was just on the radio page today for Beacon. It goes back before 2010, so I mean, we've got tons of shows. So, and again, one last thing, if you have a prayer request, please send that to prayers@bohmglobal.com. We look forward to praying with you, to praying for you. We look forward to seeing you here, there, or as they used to say, here, there, or in the air. But I just want to say thank you for all of our listeners. Again, contact us, pastor@bohmglobal.com, pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. Remember, it's not far to Jesus.
Safely to his side. There's no